Good morning, and thank you for waiting. We would like to welcome everyone to Ambev's conference call regarding the material facts notice released by the company on Friday regarding a proposal of a corporate restructuring to transition the company's current dual stock capital structure comprised of voting common shares, ON, and non-voting preferred shares, PN, to a new single stock capital structure comprised exclusively of voting common shares. Today with us, we have Mr. Nelson Jamel, CFO and Investor Relations Officer. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After Ambev's remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer section. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press *0 to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that statements made during this call may contain information that is forward-looking and reflects management's current view and estimates of future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, and financial results. Any statements, expectations, capabilities, plans, and assumptions made during this call that do not describe historical facts, such as statements regarding the declarations or payment of dividends, the directions of future operations, the implementation of principal operating and financing strategies, and capital expenditure plans, the factors or trends affecting financial conditions, liquidity, or results of operations, are forward-looking statements and involve a number of risks and uncertainties. There is no guarantee that these results will actually occur. The statements are based on many assumptions and factors, including general economic and market conditions, industry conditions, and operating factors. Any changes in such assumptions or factors could cause actual results to differ materially from current expectations. Forward-looking statements speak only as of the date they are made, and there is no obligation requiring that this presentation and the forward-looking statements contained herein be updated to reflect changes in the outlook of future market or other conditions. This call is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to purchase or sell any securities. Unless an exemption from SEC registration is available, the distribution of InBev Participesos SA shares and ADRs to U.S. holders of InBev shares and ADRs will be made only pursuant to an effective SEC registration statement that InBev Participesos S.A. intends to file with the SEC. The company urges investors to carefully read the SEC registration statement and other documents pertaining to the proposed transaction when they become available, as they will contain important information about such transactions. These documents will be available to investors free of charge on the SEC's website at www.sec.gov or from the company. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Nelson Jamel, CFO and Investor Relations Officer. Mr. Jamel, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Megan, and good afternoon to all. Thank you for attending today's call. As you know, on Friday evening, we announced a corporate restructuring proposal pursuant to which Ambev intends to move towards a single class of shares with equal voting and economic rights. We believe that this proposal will create value for all shareholders. The proposed transaction has five main objectives. First, to improve corporate governance, which is a frequent demand of our shareholders. If approved, all shares would carry voting rights and would extend to holders of preferred shares the tag-along rights set forth in Brazilian corporate law, which is not the case today. Moreover, two new directors would be appointed to the board of directors and they would be independent. And there would also be higher minimum mandatory dividends of 40% of adjusted net income. We believe this proposal creates greater alignment among shareholders and are consistent with the corporate governance standards of our global beverage peer companies. Second, to seek to increase trading liquidity in Brazil and the U.S., given the concentration in a single class of shares, but also increase weight in indexes and shareholder base by potentially attracting investors that are not allowed to invest in companies having more than one class of shares. Third objective is to simplify our corporate structure through the elimination of a number of group companies and, as a result, reduce operating, admin, and financial costs. Approximately five entities within the group would seek to exist should the transaction be approved. Fourth, to capture the deductibility for tax purpose of approximately 105 million reais in goodwill, thanks to the merger of Ambev into Ambev Participações, benefiting all Ambev shareholders. And fifth, to increase flexibility to manage our capital structure. As mentioned, a single class of shares should have more trading liquidity, and we also believe that, in addition, this transaction could potentially help us solve one of the issues we may face more and more, which relates to the fact that our strong cash generation has been growing at a faster pace than our profit reserves. Should this imbalance remain, we could create some hurdles in the medium to long term with regard to our capital structure. The share swap merger, however, could help us address this issue by potentially increasing our payout capacity and therefore enabling incremental dividends, interest on capital, or share buybacks should the company decide to do so in the future. Our intention is to have a company with no asymmetry of rights among shareholders. The proposal is to attribute equal value to common shares and preferred shares. Likewise, the process for submitting the corporate organization to shareholder vote was crafted in such a way that not only will the minority holders of both common shares and preferred shares have a say, but also the corporate restructuring will only take place if it's approved by a majority of the minority shareholders of each class heard separately. Furthermore, controlling shareholders have decided to follow the will of the minority shareholders by either abstaining from voting or voting their shares to give effect to the manifestation of minorities. Distant holders of common shares will be granted appraisal rights as set forth in Brazilian law. If the proposed transaction is approved, we would have a new Ambev with a single class of shares with equal voting and economic rights. It should also have two independent board members appointed by shareholders in accordance with Brazilian law. There will be a higher minimum mandatory dividend of 40% of adjusted net income, which is 14.3% higher than the 35% current set forth in Ambev's bylaw. Since our intent is to ascribe equal value to common shares and preferred shares, there will be no change to total capital ownership. The existing shareholders agreement would be amended to reflect the aforementioned terms and conditions of the transaction, and Ambev and the other Ambev subsidiaries would ultimately be merged into new Ambev. As far as timing is concerned, the extraordinary general shareholders meeting that will deliberate on the proposed transaction is expected to take place in May 2013, as certain preliminary corporate restrictions are required, as well as filings and or registrations with the CVM, BMF, Bovespa, the SEC, and the New York Stock Exchange will have to be made and or obtained. With that, I would like to hand it back to Megan so that she can remind everyone the procedure for Q&A and we can take some questions. Megan, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Our first question comes from Alan Alanis with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Jamel. Thank you for the call. You mentioned something right now regarding hurdles and flexibility for increased payout capacity. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that in terms of quantifying with this new change, your current capacity will go from X to Y in terms of dividend payout, and provide us a little bit more color on that aspect of the rationale, please. You know, that would be my first question, and I have a really quick second follow-up.
Sure, Alan. Good afternoon, and thanks for your question. When we announced the transaction, I mean, we focus on the five key objectives, and as I said, one of them is to improve our flexibility to manage our capital structure. Mm-hmm. We think, first of all, a single class of share, of course, should bring more trading liquidity, and that's something that would help there. But also, we have talked about that in previous calls, especially during the results announcement, and when there were questions about our payout and all that. We mentioned that we have a sort of, it's not an issue today in the short term, but it could become a kind of a hurdle over time as we start to see more and more a strong cash generation, which is growing faster than the speed of our profit reserves being built, right? And in accordance with Brazilian law, we depend on this result to implement our payout strategy. So should this imbalance remain, we could create those hurdles in the medium to long term. That's what we are looking at here. So the share swap merger, it could help us. It's one of the steps, the critical step we are proposing here. And if approved, essentially by minorities, it could help us addressing this issue specifically. We will increase our payout capacity, again, in accordance with Brazilian law. And then, of course, we are not giving any specific guidance on how we are going to manage this over time, because it's have to analyze it, and it depends on prevailing market conditions and all that. But we would have the flexibility, and I think that's an important point to be there, of increasing dividends on a consistent way over time, manage our payouts in a way to either through these dividends, interest on capital, or share buybacks. We could be able to do it without the constraints we have today should the company decide to do so in the future. So at this stage, we are not able to quantify any specific number, and of course, we are going to have a kind of a lengthy process. We don't expect this to be closed anywhere sooner than end of the second semester, end of the first semester, sorry, mm-hmm. Next year. So we are going to have, a series of material facts, and we're going to have filings to CVM, SEC, with F4, so all the specific numbers and quantification will be there in due time. We are not in a position to discuss these numbers yet because they are not even ready. But I think the view here is really to add this flexibility to manage our capital structure in a more proactive way over time.
Got it. No, I understand that it cannot be quantified, and I appreciate that. I mean, I'm interpreting, this is my interpretation, that's a material element, and that's why you're naming it as one of the top five reasons. So I look forward to hear more details when they become available in terms of that kind of flexibility. My second quick question has to do with why not go to all the way to a Novo Mercado listing? What are the components of the Novo Mercado listing that you said, look, this we really don't feel fully comfortable, and we're you're stopping one step behind going to this full Novo Mercado listing in Brazil?
Sure, I understand your question. I think in the end of the day, it was a little bit the other way around. I mean, we didn't say, well, that's Novo Mercado, we don't want to go there, that's why we're going to stop a little bit early. It was the other way around. I mean, we looked into what are the major gaps we have in terms of corporate governance, I think, proven opportunities, in fact, and then we saw the one vote, one share, the independent board members, the extended tag-along rights. So we focus on all that. We saw that those were the main gaps we had, for instance, towards our, let's say, global peer mm-hmm. companies, and we focus on them. Then we looked, okay, we are substantially, or to a large extent, replicating or adopting most of the Novo Mercado elements, but some of them, which we didn't think were as relevant or as critical at this stage for Ambev, that's why in the end we'll focus on what we think can really add to our corporate structure, and that's how it led us to the to the transaction structure the way it's proposed today. But again, I think the important point is really to bear in mind that we focus on closing the gaps, if you will, to our global beverage peers, which have corporate governance standards that differ from Novo Mercado. So think like a minimum free float of 25%. We don't think that it's relevant for Ambev at this stage. We are at 29. The proposed transaction doesn't indicate any change. We expect the ownership structure to be the same afterwards. And so it's not an issue to start with. But when you look at it, I mean, our liquidity is like so big that we don't think it's necessary to add any additional elements on that. So that's just one example. There was no single thing for the Novo Mercado to decide not to fulfill. Again, it was the other way around, as I said. We focus on what we want to add, and then we are proposing the transaction the way it is.
Fair enough. Thank you so much, Emil.
You're welcome. Thank you, Alan.
And our next question comes from Thiago Duarte with BTG. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Just follow-up questions. The number one is basically if you could quantify a little bit to us what how much savings you guys believe you could have with the simplification of the shareholder structure and the elimination of subsidiaries that you're going to get from the unification of the share classes.
Hi, Thiago, good morning. So, indeed, the same way, we are not in a position to provide specific numbers or cost savings. Of course, intuitively, you can imagine that we expect to have around five entities, legal entities, to disappear, right, should the transaction be approved. So we're going to reduce costs in terms of from SAP register licenses to audit fees and all the admin costs, and we're going to, of course, be more efficient in terms of our closing procedures and all that. So, as you know, we are very focused here on efficiency, productivity, reduce costs with non-working money that we can invest in working money. You know, our focus on ZBB and all that. So, and as you know, I mean, low-hanging fruits are not there anymore. So everything you can do to be more efficient counts, and this is a good example. I mean, it will be meaningful in terms of cost saving, but we, in due course, of course, we're going to be able to provide which are the specific entities that will be incorporated and what are the expected savings. At this stage, we don't have a figure or a specific quantification to provide.
Yeah, just a follow-up here. On the tag-along rights and the minimum mandatory dividend, I'm just wondering how you guys got to the 40% and the 80% for the tag-along. Why not, for instance, given the 100% tag-along right?
Yeah, well, the 80% is pretty much what's set forth in Brazilian legislation, right, for holders of common shares. That's what they have today, and that's what we're going to be extending to all shareholders with the proposed transaction. The 40%, again, was also, of course, we benchmarked versus other leading companies in Brazil and also versus our global peers, and it works as an increase versus the minimum, around 14% versus the minimum we have today. And, of course, bear in mind that our track record should be above the minimum. So we think it's important, but as we already mentioned in the previous answer, our goal is to have even a higher flexibility to be more proactive in terms of our capital structure, and we'll have the opportunity to grow our payout over time with the proposed transaction should the company decide to do so in due time.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you.
Welcome.
And our next question comes from Alex Robert with Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks, and good morning. Look, I wanted to understand perhaps a little bit more about your choice in the holding vehicle, InBev part. I guess, is there any significance for choosing that route, vis-a-vis maybe some tax incentives and such? I mean, I understand that Novo Mercado as well as InBev part, you can get the benefits from the amortization of goodwill. At the 105 million reais, but just any comment about the choice specifically of the InBev part vehicle?
Sure. sure. Well, you kind of touch, hi Alex, you kind of touch in one of the specific elements that we have in debt participações as a big, which is the goodwill. But I would say that given the number of objectives of the proposed transaction, I mean, the implementation of the single class of share, improved corporate governance, and then the goodwill, which is specific to embed corp, because it is structured as the most efficient, even looking at the implementation in the best possible time frame and with the best, let's say, the most cost-efficient way. So we look into the relevant tax, accounting, legal impacts of the alternatives we had in using embed participações as a resulting, let's say, listed entity. Is for sure the best alternative among of all the others we looked at as a way to achieve the goals simultaneously and in the shorter time frame possible. So, I mean, those for this specific reason, and I think it's important to emphasize that there is no other material asset or liability in embedded participações. I mean, it's going to be... We have some cash, some tax credit, but nothing material because it's the purpose of the operation, except for the goodwill that you'll be able to amortize and benefit from a tax perspective.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
And our next question comes from Ricardo Boiati with Bradesco. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello. Thanks for taking the question, Jamal. I have a question regarding well, your new capital structure. It gives you a lot of capabilities and flexibility to work on the capital structure also in the M&A process. I was wondering if you have the opportunity to make an acquisition today, would you prefer to pay with equity after the new structure? That will give you the opportunity to maybe pay for new acquisitions with equity, if that would make sense, considering that your stock is trading at a premium valuation compared to global peers, and if it would make sense for you to pursue M&A opportunities outside of Latin America, considering that these other regions would not be as synergic as Latin America, but if it would make sense for you to pursue maybe M&A in other regions. Thank you.
Sure, Ricardo. Well, thanks for your question. We'll start with the M&A bit, right? I think at the end of the day, of course, the company history is about organic growth, and I think we have plenty of opportunities for organic growth in Brazil, but also we continue to look into M&A. I mean, I think this year was an important year for us to improve our presence in Hila with the acquisition in Dominican Republic. I would say probably that's the area where we're gonna target, thinking longer terms, where we don't see us going outside the Americas, for instance. On the other hand, I think the company already has, and I think with the transaction probably has the opportunity to even increase the flexibility for M&A. Of course, there is no view here on any specific targets or whether you're going to use a different source of funds for a potential acquisition. But the company has a very strong cash generation, and a transaction, I think, would add, from this perspective, from this, let's say, fighting power perspective, I would say to add marginally to what we already have today. So no change there versus what we, for instance, did in the DR, which in the end was pretty much a cash acquisition. Again, in the future, we will always assess what is the best opportunity for a transaction. But I think that's marginal to the benefits being targeted with the proposed transaction.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Nelson Jamal for any closing remarks.
Well, thank you, Megan, and thanks, everybody, again, for joining the call. I'm looking forward to speaking with you in 2013 and also fourth quarter results. But, of course, before that, if you have questions, additional questions about the transaction, we are more than happy to take them. And again, thank you a lot for the participation today. Bye-bye.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.